God's in control of this thing? Do we believe it? And if we don't believe it, then we will never see miraculous manifestations of his power in our life. That's what it takes. And it's going to get even worse, because we're going to get to a point that when we get to the end of time, and when we start getting to the point where they start closing churches up because you're not worshiping on the day that's been mandated. That's the only mandate that God says, I have a problem with. It doesn't matter what men try to do. God is in control of every situation, because he's provided provisions for every situation. 2020, God already foresaw. He provided provision. He gave that young 34-year-old the mindset. He gave her the intellect to be able to develop this vaccine, just like any other. God will never leave us in a situation without a provision. He did it with sin, and he will do it with anything else that befalls on this earth. That's my message today.
This is the IPSC-SDA Media Network.
Good morning, church. It's a blessing to be actually back home. I've been preaching all over the place, but it's always a blessing to be in your house today. Are we blessed today? Really? Sometimes we take our blessings for granted. But I'm here to let you know that God is still in the house. You know, I was just talking with Bill earlier today and Dr. Beckton here, and I was just telling him that this message was one that was somewhat difficult for me. I struggled with the Holy Spirit all week, actually for a couple of weeks. I want to actually speak on something else. And actually, when I put this message together, it was about something else. But the Holy Spirit said, no, I want you to talk about this. And as I struggled back and forth and back and forth, I the Holy Spirit reminded me, do you remember my servant Jonah? And I thought about that. And I said, you know, I don't know if it would be good for me to be in the belly of a whale for 3 days. It might mess up my suit. I can't do that. So I said, you know what? I'm going to preach what you tell me to preach, because this is your word, not mine. So I just pray that you pray with me as I present this message to you, and realize that this message comes with much prayer, with much deliberation, and with much, this definitely was heartfelt. So before I get started, I just want to ask you a couple of questions. And I titled this, Why Ask Why? All right? Question number one. Why are there so few miraculous manifestations of God's divine power in our churches today? Why ask why? Why are so many Christians cowering today in the midst of climate change and this pandemic and other adversities we face? Why are so many Christians leaving the church? Why ask why? See, yes, this was prophesied, and yes, we're living in a time of the end, but we have to understand that in this world we live, it's cause and effect. There's a reason why this is happening. See, we have to remember that prophecy is nothing more than God's revelation. There's a reason why these people have this attitude where they feel that they are no longer connected with the word of God. See, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift. The Bible says faith is a gift. We all have a gift from God, but are we using it? See, do we really believe, and this is my final question, do we really believe in him and his word? The title of my message this morning is Just a Glance. Just a Glance. I pray that you be with me by his Father in heaven. We thank you so much for just the privilege and the opportunity of setting aside some time to come before you this morning. I pray, Lord, that you will speak through me. You gave me this message, so I'm relying on you to deliver it. Guide me this day, and thank you, Lord, for your blessings. These things we ask in your holy name. Amen, amen, amen. See, We live in a world steeped in skepticism today, if you haven't noticed. You know, to mask or not to mask, to take the shot or not to take the shot. Should this country's true history be taught, or is global warming real? Questions we ask. Is God real, or is the Bible true? And the list goes on and on and on. My question today is, why all the skepticism? Well, unfortunately, this is nothing new. When we go back to the Bible in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, and it says that, but the serpent said to the woman, you certainly will not die, for God knows that on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. That is, you will have greater awareness, and you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. See, we have many people seeking new light. We have many people trying to not... This is no longer the standard in your life. We're finding alternative sources of trying to identify how we're going to go about this thing. We're critical. We wonder, has anything changed? See, so let's explore a couple of examples. And we talk about the time of the antediluvians. When Noah was preaching to them, Pen of Inspiration says that as time passed on, with no apparent change in nature, men whose hearts had at times trembled with fear began to be reassured. They reasoned, as many reason now, that nature is above the God of nature, and that her laws are so firmly established that God himself could not change them. Reasoning that if the message of Noah were correct, nature would be turned out of her course. They made that message in the minds of the world a delusion, a grand deception that they were taken about. In fact, she goes on to write that they even asserted that if there were any truth to what Noah had to say, men of renown, the wise, the prudent, the great men of their time would understand that matter. Questions people ask. Let's go to the next one. And this is the children of Israel. Feeling their helplessness in the absence of their leader, they returned to their old superstitions. The mixed multitude had been first to indulge the murmuring and impatience, and they were the leaders of the apostasy that followed. Among the objects regarded by the Egyptians as symbols of deity was the ox or calf, and it was at the suggestion of those who had practiced this form of idolatry in Egypt that a calf was now made and worshipped. The people desired some image to represent God and to go before them in the place of Moses. But with the cloud of the presence still before them, God was still in the midst. They turned their backs on the hearts to the idolatry of Egypt and represented the glory of the invisible God by the similitude of the ox. Now, these two examples I want to bring to your attention first, because the antediluvians, many people question, well, how would they know about rain? How would they know about God's judgment? How would they even be able to equate to that? But we must understand that the Garden of Eden was still here just before the flood. They had every opportunity to go and witness this majesty. They had every opportunity to go there and see the mighty warriors, the mighty angels guarding those gates that they were barred access to. They knew if they wanted to seek him, they just chose not to. Same with the Israelites. We see that same thing, that they had manifested that the great miracle of separating the sea and that the great Exodus in and of itself, all the plagues. They witnessed all of this. They had no desire. They had no reason to question the God of heaven. But yet they were skeptical. Why is this? Well, we are the only creatures on earth without a pre-programmed computer trip on how to survive. Well, what are you saying by that? What do you mean by that, Elder? Well, I'm glad you asked. See, we're not governed by instinct. See, we have a mind. We're not like the animals. See, as much as they try to make us equate, oh, you're just like the monkey. No, a monkey don't worship. A monkey doesn't reason. God made us special. There's a difference. See, nothing controls you but you. See, we were created as free moral agents. That was the way God created us. See, what governs us is our belief systems, our values, our role models. That is what influences us. We don't just react on instinct. Although in the fall, or it's just, you know, as the fall approaches, I'll be honest with you, I want to follow the geese down south. I hate wintertime. I'm not gonna lie. But it's a choice. I'm not becking. You know, sometimes I'm so tired I wouldn't mind sleeping all winter like a bear. But it's not instinct. See, we have to understand that we're created differently. The Spirit of Inspiration said that the Holy Spirit will not compel men to take a certain course of action. We are free moral agents, and when sufficient evidence has been given to us as to our duty, it is left to us to decide. So I ask the question, why ask why? Well, because we're free moral agents. We can choose to believe what we want or not. We can choose not to believe that there's a God. We can choose not to believe that there's a devil. We can even choose not to believe that sin is an issue here. We can sadly choose to live outside of God's grace. That's our choice. We can do that. We have that ability. But as sad as that is, that's the reality of our situation. So as I ask the question, why ask why? You know, Penn of Inspiration says that our wealth, our self is our biggest issue. She goes on to say that the warfare against self is the greatest battle that was ever fought. The yielding of self, surrendering all to the will of God, requires a struggle. But the soul must submit to God before it can be renewed in holiness. The government of God is not as Satan would make it appear, founded on blind submission or an unreasoning control. It appeals to the intellect and the conscience. We are created to think, explore what God has given us. God does not force his will on his creatures. He cannot accept the homage that is not willingly and intelligently given. So it's true. It is true. If you choose not to believe in him, there's nothing he can do for you. That's your choice. That's true. But what is our alternative? What do we need to do? What is our default? And sadly, it's history repeating itself. We saw what was going on. We saw, again, I talked about the Israelites. Again, I talked about the antediluvians. But are we seeing this today? Well, let's go to God's word. And it was eloquently read that, and this is Numbers 21. If you have your Bible, you can check up on the screen. And it says, then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. Now, let me give you a little bit of history. This was after the incident where they were, the Lord had given them the edict that they were no longer going to be the chosen people to go into the land. That if you were 21 and over, you were done. You were going to wander in the wilderness because they rejected the report of two of the 10 spies. They didn't have faith that God could deliver them over their enemies. So they were out there, and it says that they went to the Mount of Hor. That is the location where one of their leaders, Aaron, was laid to rest. And when they were leaving there, that the Lord told them to reach out to the king of Edom. Reach out to the king of Edom. And speak to him so that he may grant you access. Again, we focus on our trust in the Lord. And they were bickering and they were complaining the whole time. See, they were still bitter because the Lord told them, if you are over 21, you ain't going in. So they complained. They murmured. And they were like, they lost their focus. They were just, it was a constant strife. The Lord gave them a few victories, but then the Lord gave them a few disappointments along the way. But so that's how they set up this thing. And as people spake against God and against Moses when they brought up out of Egypt, why have you brought us out here to die? Again, they were bitter, choosing. They would rather go back to Kip. Now, this is really something I don't understand. Is anybody in here been a slave? Do you know what it's like to be enslaved? These people were enslaved. They were getting their behinds beat. They were on someone else's time, forced labor. But yet, they instead of following God, they wanted to go their own way. Amazing. They were willing to go back into slavery just because they were unwilling to submit to the God of heaven. Think about that. Do we do that today? I'm getting somewhere. I want you to think about this thing. So the Lord says here that as they were in the middle of their grumbling and their complaining, the Lord sent a plague of serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Now, let me tell you something about this as well. God is a God of provision, and I'm going to go into that in the latter part of my message. Where they were in the desert was infested with over 33 species of snakes and multiple scorpions, all of which had lethal consequences. But yet, God had provided for them. You imagine, they had no Walmart. There was no Foot Locker. But yet the Bible said their shoes didn't wear. Their clothes didn't wear. There were none feeble among them. God was providing for them, and they didn't even recognize it. They only looked at the miracles, but they didn't recognize that their daily lives were in his hands. He divinely protected them from anything that would affect them. They weren't attacked by wolves. They weren't attacked by lions. Many times in this life, we don't recognize the provisions God has given us. See, the adversity they brought on themselves. In Numbers 21, the Israelites experienced victory over the Canaanites, but soon fell back into their grumbling and complaining. God brings a plague of snakes upon the people. It's a divine edict on them. Their grumblings against God was their downfall. But people begged for mercy. Then finally they recognized, sometimes when we start to recognize that maybe he's right. You know, that God, I do remember these things. Maybe I need to go back to him. They went back to Moses and they were heartfelt. We were sorry. They were dying. They were in pain. They were suffering. In fact, the Bible even says that even by the time Moses even erected this statue, this symbol, many of them had already died in their sins. They died complaining. They died grumbling. But let me just talk a little bit about the entity of what that represents. See, bronze is an alloy about 90% copper, 10% tin. Starting out with added arsenic, as it is heated in the furnace, the fumes can become toxic. When the furnace reaches a certain heat, it becomes a completely different material. The copper and tin can never be separated again. The bronze is a material that can't be found naturally, which is interesting. Why? You see, there's always object lessons in everything that we study in God's Word. Bronze is a mixture of two things that can't now be separated, copper and tin. Copper represents Jesus as the divine Son of God. But by itself, that was not enough. Tin represents Jesus as the Son of Man. They say, who became sin for us. The two came together. That will give us our salvation. Arsenic is a poison, and it kills. Jesus becomes sin. Sin kills. But as Jesus took on sin, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because Jesus became sin for our iniquities. We have to think about this thing. See, Jesus said in talking to Nicodemus that just as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. He was talking about the cross. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, the Son of God must be lifted up, that whosoever believes may have eternal life. Do we really believe that today? See, we even go on, and I'm going somewhere with this, that when we're born again in the way that Jesus told Nicodemus that we're born again, we're in Christ and no longer just like a human being. We're born again in the Spirit of God, never to be separated again and having eternal life. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Jesus was a human being who was truly God, but also truly man. Jesus had to endure the furnace of affliction in the cross. And from that moment, something changed forever, as with the copper and the tin. And it came together. Something eternal happened, symbolized in the bronze. See, when men look at the cross, they no longer die as a result of the stink bite or the penalty of sin. They become now covered by his grace. See, we have a wonderful thing to be happy about. But remember this, just a glance. The lifting up of the brazen serpent was to teach Israel an important lesson. They could not save themselves from the fatal effect of the poison in their wounds. God alone was able to heal them. Yet they were required to show their faith in the provisions which he had made for them. You see, we have to understand where this is going. God always is one of provision. They must look in order to live. It was their faith that was acceptance to God. Do you know, as I was reading this, Pentateuch inspiration even tells us that many, even after he erected up this serpent, many people refused. Well, first of all, we had those who refused to look. I don't have to look. I don't believe it. And they died in their sins. Then we had those who looked, but didn't have faith, because they had to recognize that serpent was not their, that was not their deliverance. Their deliverance was the faith in the one who instructed Moses to build that serpent. We need to understand that our faith is what saves us. Our faith is what connects us. Without faith, our faith is meaningless. We have to learn to trust in the Lord. So as I go in, and we talked about these guys, and they were dying in the wilderness. The Lord, the Lord heard their play. They heard their cries and said, okay, you're dying. And this was their iniquities that resulted in that. But you're dying. So that I'm going to set up some sort of provision to prevent that stay of death. I'm going to do this. Some believed it, some didn't. Let me give you an example of some of God's provisions today. See, we have to understand, first of all, that we have to always reflect on Hebrews 11:1, which says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Do you really understand what that means? Do you understand what that means? The Bible is giving us, that God is basically telling us what faith is. See, let me explain something to you. Let me break this verse down. Faith is the knowledge that God can do whatever he wants. And as he's working in our favor, the Bible describes faith as a substance. That's tangible. That's not just a blind hope. That's not just you're flagging around in the dark trying to figure this thing out. God's saying, I have given you substance in his life. The Greek word homostasis means essence, actual being, reality, confident assurance. See, we go through this life meandering, not recognizing the God that we serve. We go through our life with a mamby-pamby, flip-flappy hope, wondering, will God come through for me? God has already provided you provisions. We just don't understand it. We don't appreciate it. Substance. The dictionary says the real physical matter of which a person or thing consists and which has a tangible, solid presence. There is no such thing as blind faith. Genuine faith always rests upon the firm underlying substance of sufficient evidence to warrant confidence in what has not yet been seen. What do you mean by that, elder? I don't understand. How can I have this kind of faith? Did you arrive here safely? Do you realize that the Bible tells us the devil's like a roaring lion seeking whom may be desired? The fact that you get to your work safely, that's substance. That's also evidence. The fact that we woke up this morning, that's substance. People say, well, I had a good fresh night's sleep. I woke up. Do you realize? I was telling another church, you know, there's studies that talk about you're going to swallow a spider in your sleep. You don't know. God is overseeing you. That's substance. But we expect to wake up. One thing the Bible's clear on is you don't expect nothing. It's by the grace of God. And then we have evidence. Evidence is from the Greek word elikos, meaning proof, conviction. Faith is not an abstract belief that evidence exists, but a settled assurance based on confidence that God will fulfill his promises for us. See, it's an expectation. That's why the three Hebrew boys were boldly willing to get into the fiery furnace. Because they said, well, if God don't deliver us, doesn't matter. We're living our life in accordance to his will. Even if we perish, we will see him again. Daniel was in the lion's den. One of the amazing miracles, how he turned lions that hadn't eaten in weeks. You guys ever watch Animal Planet and some of those shows? And you see how hungry lions start acting. When they start getting hungry, they start acting crazy. He was among that. They hadn't eaten in weeks. They almost starved the poor animals. And yet, you got a meal right there. But the angel was there with him. He wasn't in there by himself. He prayed to his God who delivered him. An angel came and told those lions, you're not going to be pussycats. Go sit on the corner. Go lie down. He probably could go pet him on the head if he wanted to. They weren't going to touch. We have been given evidence. The fact that we're breathing right now, that's evidence. The fact that we recovered from a cold, that's evidence. The fact that our heart is beating and constantly beating. The only muscle that never gets tired. But yet, we run, we get tired. We climb steps, we get tired. I know I get tired. We hold our arms out, we get tired. We work, we get tired. We get tired all the time. But the heart still, in spite of that, adjusts to our current situation. Whether we're excited about a game, it's pumping. Whether we're sleeping at night, it's pumping. Miracles of God. But we take this stuff for granted. God hasn't done nothing for me. Really? Did you wake up this morning? You woke up. Take that same clock down to the funeral home. Turn it loud and see what's going to happen. Life. God is the life giver. We need to understand. So my question to you is, why faith? Because God is a God of provision. See, now I'm going to get technical with you on this thing. The adaptation and the compatibility of whatever nature needs is already built into any creature God has created. What does that mean? What are you trying to tell me? Basically, you know, we study, you know, people talk about evolution and how animals are adapted and they have the ability to do this and to do that. They adapt to their environment. But no. God has given them the ability to adapt. They adapt here. There's no proof of that. They're just talking out of the sides of their mouths. They can't prove any of that. God gives us the ability. Basically, God has put within us provisions made. Did you ever think that, you know, when I was growing up, they once told me that the different colors come with, you know, you have some people, if they go to the equator, they darken up like toast. You ever seen burnt toast? And then you say other people that go up to the colder places, they lighten up. That's evolution. God has provided provisions for all of us. Everything is provided. See, provisions have been made for every problem that we will ever encounter in this life. That's the kind of God that we serve. Nothing escapes him. He's a God of preparation. He's a God that instituted things and he puts things in place. Even before we get there, it's already there waiting on us. That's the kind of God that we serve. He already knows what we'll ever need before we get there. He needs you to walk that timeline to meet it. See, we have a minuscule understanding of the God that we serve. So what am I talking about, Elder? Well, I'm getting to a point. See, God has given us evidence even in 2020. See, Genesis 1:29. Let me ask you a question. What was the original diet? No, specifically. Fruits, nuts, and grains. That's correct. So why do I eat vegetables? Why is that necessary? Because that was a provision that God had in place after man's sin. See, there were two provisions placed in Genesis. One was Genesis 3:15, basically telling them and then telling the devil, the sin problem is going to be eradicated at some point. I've already set it up. It's going to be taken care of. Two, he saw that in time, when we separated from the tree of life, that our bodies are going to be subjected to the effects of the sinful world, and we're going to need the nutrition. We're going to need the phytochemicals. We're going to need all the things that are in those plants to survive. Even man who has studied nature, many of the medicines are the result of seeing the natural mechanisms that God has already instituted. And that's where a lot of the medicines come from. Some were discovered out of... No, some were discovered, happened chance, but even that was under the watchful eye of God. God was like, they're not getting it. So I'm going to have them find them by mistake so they can alleviate the suffering of his people. God never leaves us in the middle of mess without a provision. He did it for the sin problem, And he did it for every physical element that existed in his time. Doesn't matter what it is. So where are you going with that? You know, as we see, scientists have identified over 5,000 different types of phytochemicals that have protective or disease protective properties. So at this time, I want you to see a video. And this video is kind of a summation of where I'm coming from with this message this morning. But it's not so much the specificity of it, but it highlights the mindset that exists today. Are you guys ready?
Brian Harris, one of the hospital subwards here in Redmond, as well as Ben. I've taken care of over 100 patients with COVID myself. There's this voice deep down that says that this is preventable. Why did this person put themselves in this position? Why are we working at this level so hard? To some degree, it's kind of people's fault. The louder voice, which is that we're supposed to take care of everybody. If patients get drunk and come to the hospital, we take care of them. People get in car accidents and they don't wear their bike helmets, and we take care of them. We love doing that.
And this whole floor at this point is a COVID unit?
Yeah. Dr. Jennifer Ashley, and I'm a hospitalist, and I'm the director of our hospice group here in Bend, and I also oversee the hospice group in Redmond. The thing that no one tells you, when you get sick with COVID, you don't get visitors in the hospital. You're isolated here, and the families are isolated at home. And that's one of the most heartbreaking things about this disease. Stephanie? It's Dr. Ashley again. Do you mind if I turn on your lights?
I have a sheet.
So it's been probably 2 weeks that you've been feeling lousy. And how many days have you been in the hospital now?
At least a week.
For folks who don't know, tell us why you lie on your side and your stomach.
It's the best thing for me to keep the lungs clear, I guess, and try to bring up somebody to do this. Try to get better.
Do you know, right now, as we are here talking, there are anti-vax protesters outside the hospital.
Please, everybody, get the vaccine. Don't do this to yourself. I made a terrible mistake. Never should have done it. Should have taken the vaccine. It's good help. Help yourself. Do it.
You know, I ran across this. My wife actually ran across this video, and I looked at this. But this video is a summation of what we're dealing with today. This thing has become so political, whether we should get vaccinated, whether we should not get vaccinated. My sermon is not about vaccination. My sermon is about provisions that God provides us. See, we have to understand that God saw that in 2020 that this was going to be a scourge. He saw that 5 million people will die from this disease. But God is a God that will never leave us. In the midst of adversity and suffering, without offering us an alternative. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the point of my message today. God saw that I'm going to need to give this 34-year-old black girl, Dr. Kamika Gorbett, the insight to find a vaccine to deliver my people. They're not going to just die just because. That we have to understand, we like I said, we made this thing so political. The devil is in our minds, heads, playing games. Well, it's the government. It's there's the reasons why I'm not, they're putting poison in my body. God will not allow that. That's not the kind of God we serve. See, people are so fixated on conspiracy theories. World War III is going to, we're going to have a nuclear winter. That's not going to happen. With this earth, it's going to get hit by an asteroid. That's not going to happen. God is going to break the crowds. And you're going to see a small cloud that as it gets larger and larger, it's going to unroll like a scroll. That is going to be the end of this earth. Not what man has devised. We need to understand that we have to trust in the Lord. See, God provides. Prayer is not asking for what you don't have. Praise is for thanking God for what you don't have, but thanking him in advance, saying that I know you will do this thing. When we had the initial onslaught of this virus, we were getting killed in droves. And my next door neighbor worked at DMC, and she talked about rooms that she passed that had 8, 9, 10 bodies stacked on top of each other. Death all around us. We got online, and we, as a church, we had prayer vigils. He said, Lord, deliver us from this thing. We had prayer breakfast, and we had time of, we got on the phone and prayed and prayed and prayed. Deliver us from this. But then, when a potential alternative comes, we scoffing on it. Just like the Israelites that saw miracles of God. Just like the antediluvians that did not believe that they all they had to do was walk north and see the garden that was still here, with the angels standing at the gates. Just like all throughout, the Israelites were being preserved. So were we. This country was being blessed. We were not affected by any of this stuff. Even when Ebola hit us. The year before, years before, during the Obama administration, they would handle that thing. We only had a couple of cases here in the United States. But people were dying in droves in other countries, particularly in Africa. But we scoff. Praises, we have to not be worried about your outcome, because you have faith that he will come through for us. See, we have faith. That's why we got together. We have faith that he was going to be with us. We have faith that he was going to intervene in the midst of this crazy pandemic of ours. We have faith. That's why we pray to him. Faith is trusting God, believing that he loves us and knows what's best for our good. Thus, instead of our own, it leads us to choose his way. In place of our ignorance, it accepts his wisdom. In place of our weakness, his strength. In place of our sinfulness, his righteousness. That's what faith does for us. We have our minds. We're free moral agents. We can choose to believe what we want. God gave us that ability. That's why he didn't destroy the devil after his iniquity was found in his heart. God saw. He peered all the way down the timeline to where we are today. He knew this was what's going to happen. Nothing catches him by surprise. We put God in a box thinking, well, I don't trust that thing. You need to just, don't worry about the vaccine. You trust in the Lord, because the Lord gave them the wisdom to develop that thing. God is not going to hurt us. He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to allow things to come on us without giving us evidence. And like, without letting us know, that's what the Holy Spirit does. His Holy Spirit warns us of danger. Many people talk about, I had a sixth sense upon me. I just felt funny about it. That's the Holy Spirit. See, we're so busy focused on man's way of interpretation. Let's call it for what it is. Many 9/11 people were talking about how they were on their way to work, and all these crazy quirky things were happening. My car overheated. I just had a service last week. I left my cell phone. I left my keys. I left my book. I was cut off. I was behind some slowpoke. Get out of the way. I got to get to work. But God was preserving their lives, just like he'll preserve ours, even in the midst of this pandemic. But we choose not to believe the faith, and not to have the faith that's necessary. God gave us provision of sin on the cross. He sent his son to die for us. And it's the same choice. Many people are making that choice as well. I don't choose to believe in you. I don't choose to believe in this word. I don't choose to believe in the Bible. I choose what I want to choose. But you're going to suffer the consequences for that choice. Our lives, ourselves, are already his. Faith acknowledges his ownership and accepts his blessings. Truth, uprightness, and purity have been pointed out as secrets of life's success. It is faith that puts us in possession of these principles. So as I said before, the only thing that can really hamper our relationship with God is this right here, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the reward of those who diligently seek him. See, apart from faith, God is infinite, and we are irrevocably finite. And there are, accordingly, things that we must take by faith. But to take God at his word is the most exalted exercise of which human minds are capable. But there is no room in a perfect universe for a created being that lacks faith in the ruler of it. That's just the way it is. You could choose to believe what you want, but God is telling you that if you don't trust me, I can't help you. To seek is to better understand more fully his infinite character for his will for men. So I ask myself, and I ask us today, but faith, you know, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 1 Corinthians 2:5 says that when your faith should, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And people, and people say, well, that verse right there tells me that I can't trust man. No, that's Paul talking to Greeks who thought they were a bunch of know-it-alls. And they had their medicines, and they had their way of life, and they had their theories. And Paul was, that was specific to them. But it's also relative to us as well, because if we trust the Lord will tell us, I am God. I am science. I am wisdom. You know, I have developed all of the things in this world came from me. Don't you know who I am? I was just telling Bill that I was preaching in another church, and I was just saying how it's funny the Bible, people question the scientific components of our religion. Really? Do you realize that this book is the only book that talked about surgery before there was ever a surgical procedure by man? Genesis chapter 2 says that God said, I'm going to be put on my anesthesiology hat. He took Bill's job. He said, Adam, I'm going to put you to sleep. I'm going to put you in a deep sleep. Then he went on and said, now I got him sleep. He seems comfortable. Now I have to take my anesthesia hat off. Surgeon hat now, scalpel, as he cut his side. The Bible is clear on this thing. He performed this operation. He opened up that side. He took out that rib, and he used that rib. He said, let me close this thing back up. The Bible says this. He closed it back up, and he created Eve. And he said, okay, as he had Adam in recovery, you can wake up. Can you hear me now? This I created to you while you were sleeping. That's the kind of God that we serve. We focus and we make this, break this thing down where science versus the Bible. No, there's God. James 1:5 says, if any man seeks wisdom, come to me and I will give it to you abundantly. See, God is the author of wisdom. There's nothing man does in this world that's not under the dwelling, that's not under his eye. His eye is on the sparrow. He's always watching us. We have to understand the God that we serve. So prayer and faith are closely allied, and they need to be studied together. It is the prayer of faith that is a divine science. It is a science that everyone who would make his life work a success must understand. Christ says, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. It makes it plain that our asking must be according to God's will. We must ask for the things that he has promised, and whatever we receive must be used in doing his will. The conditions met, the promise is irrevocable. Do you know what that means? God is capable of anything in this life. You know, I'd asked her ahead of time for permission, but I'm still amazed today of the sacrifice of my niece Uni. You know, she had a heart condition and a faulty valve. And she had just had that valve operated on 6 or 8 months prior. So that was considered an astronomically high-risk procedure. Less than 50%, to be honest with you. 30 to 40% by most occasions. Some doctors wouldn't even done it. This is too risky. But because of age, they said, we're going to take a chance. But we prayed on that thing. I was troubled as I talked with the surgeon, and he told me that Mark, we're going to do this thing, but, you know, if I don't do anything, we know what the outcome's going to be. So I'm going to take a chance. You take a chance. I'm going to go and pray. We called the elders together. We went to her bedside. We anointed her. Pastor Patterson and the elders, we anointed her. And we said, Lord, this is on you now. Man can only go so far. And the Lord's like, all I ask is your faith. That's all I'm asking for. Pastor Patterson asked her, do you believe that God can heal you? And she says, yes, I do. She publicly acknowledged it. Do you know that that Monday she had her surgery? That surgeon flew through that thing. There was hardly any blood loss. In fact, the surgeon admitted, he said, it went better than I could ever imagine. He was surprised. Because that's the kind of God that we serve. It's not about men. It's about our faith. But he uses men. Remember now, when Christ was when he left and he was going to go back to, up to heaven, he said, I'm going to send the comforter here. And he's going to be with you while I'm up there working on your behalf. And he gave men the ability to heal. His disciples healed and they alleviated the suffering of man. They cast out demons. He gave them that ability. He works through people just like he works. He could do things in which way he wants. But we are so focused on our way of things. We need to understand that God has no limitations. He could use a donkey to get you to work if he so desires. That's the kind of God that we serve. Don't put him in a box. Trust in him in all things, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to us. Seek him first. We must have faith, 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Once again, we see that we can't rely on man's intellect. We can't rely because man's intellect, although it came from God, he's a free moral agent as well. And sometimes he may misuse that thing. But even with that, just like Balaam he was paid handsomely. Curse my people. You. I bless you. Did I just say that? That was not his intent. Wait a minute. Okay. What did you do, Balaam? I paid you big money to curse these people. I tried. Do it again. All right. This time, in the name of my pagan gods, I bless you in the name of God of heaven. It doesn't matter what men try to do. God is in control of every situation because he's provided provisions for every situation. 2020, God already foresaw. He provided provision. He gave that young 34-year-old the mindset. He gave her the intellect to be able to develop this vaccine just like any other. God will never leave us in a situation without a provision. He did it with sin. And he will do it with anything else that befalls on this earth. That's my message today. Looking for Christ. He's already there. Revelation 3:20 says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. God is basically saying, my goodness, I'm here with you. I was with Daniel in the lion's den. I was with the three Hebrew boys. And I'm with you today, regardless of your circumstance, regardless of your adversity. I'm in the midst. I have not forsaken you. My word stands truth. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. It doesn't matter when the timeline. It doesn't matter what year it was. It doesn't matter. God promised us that he will not forsake us, regardless of our situation. That's my focus. That's my purpose. I'm not preaching about a vaccine, because you could take the vaccine and get sick. That's not the point. The point is your faith and your faith in his provisions. That's my point. That's when I want to address what's the mindset. It troubles me when I see people who are so stubborn about this thing, trying to come up with all these different examples like God can't handle himself. God's in control of this thing. Do we believe it? And if we don't believe it, then we will never see miraculous manifestations of his power in our life. That's what it takes. And it's going to get even worse because we're going to get to a point that when we get to the end of time and when we start getting to the point where they start closing churches up because you're not worshiping on the day that's been mandated. That's the only mandate that God says, I have a problem with. When Christ was here on this earth, he paid taxes. He went to the temple and put in his mints. He did what he had to do. But when they start to tell him that there's a different day, we question you as the creator of this thing, that's when he had a problem. That was it. He said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar. But you render unto God what is God. So as I wanted to bring to your attention today, just a glance is all we need for eternal life. Seek his Holy Spirit who will facilitate this thing. The people just like the Israelites who were stricken, and they called it fiery serpents because the bite, sight of the bite will cause rapid inflammation. Cytotoxin and hematotoxins. They broke down your blood and they also caused the skin to break down and to boil and fester. It was a painful death. That's why they call it fiery. But God saw that and said, you know what, Moses? Even though I sent them because I was upset with them for their lack of faith in me, I'm consistent. I have to give them an out. I have to provide a provision because that's who I am. And he's doing it today as well. So as I close this message, I just want to bring to your attention today that I'm not here fighting over a vaccine. That's not my issue. My issue is to help you understand that we serve a God that will never, ever leave us in a situation without a way of escape. That's the kind of God that we serve. And before I sit down, I just want you to peek at the statement that was issued by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you could show that at this time. On this position, on this vaccine. The Seventh-day Adventist Church supports the fact that through evidence-based medicine, it supports immunizations of all kinds. Why? Because they believe that God is the creator of everything. And this statement was given by the Seventh-day Adventist Church that they support the vaccination campaign given by the government because they know that God is in control. And anything that will leave the suffering of his people, we support. Now, in vermectin, one last comment. Man is so funny to me. Evidence-based is not good enough for some people. So you rather go and take ivermectin, which, what's his name? The quarterback for Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, admitted publicly that he took that for his COVID. You know, he tested positive. That was developed as an anti. It was developed for parasites. It was developed for stomach parasites. That's what it was developed for. They only did it in a test tube, and they showed in a test tube that it worked on COVID. But yet, people are flocking to buy this stuff. Where's our head? The Bible already tells us where we can go. But that shows you an example. When you don't believe in God's word, you will allow them to believe anything. I just want to leave that with you. I just ask that you please bow your heads. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for just the privilege of relaying this message that you've given me to your people. That you won't forsake us in the midst of this pandemic. You have never forsaken us, even in creation. You gave Adam and Eve, you provided them the provision. All the way down to now, you give us provisions. You're not going to allow us to just perish in the midst of adversity without providing us an out. You say that even in temptations, you will provide a way of escape. Why do I think that now all of a sudden things will change? That's not the kind of God we serve. You're a God of consistency. You're a God that says that they cannot lie. I believe you, Lord. So I'm going to trust you in everything that I do. Lord, I pray that you be with our people today that may be on a fence. Help them to understand, just to pray about this thing, that know that you are in control. And it's not about a vaccine. It's not about a medicine of any kind. That's not what heals. You heal. That's who we trust. In faith, strengthen our faith in this world. That we learn to survive this thing, because if this is tripping up now, we're not going to make it when man starts mandating a day of worship. We have to do this thing now, trusting you, although we may not be able to see it, but we have to trust in you in all. Thank you, Lord, for this message. Thank you for your people. I pray that you be with us, Lord, as we leave this place. These things we ask in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.